That's good to get an applause before I speak, so just in case. I like that. Thank you very much. It's good. I think actually I enjoy your presentation. It seems that some of the principles, you know, that we found are the same, even in completely different systems. Okay, before anything, I want to recognize the work of Dr. Hack. Dr. Hack is a postdoc with me, and he essentially prepared, did most of the work and the presentation. I am the important guy that speaks here, but he did most of the work. He couldn't make it because now he's applying manure at this time back in Iowa. Okay, we know that if we apply too much phosphorus, more than is needed or more than is removed by corn soybean systems or any crop, then we get soil P buildup. With fertilizer management for crops, this is relatively easy. We have some uncertainty in terms of relationship between removal and soil test P and the maintenance rates and so forth, but it can be done. Now, when we are dealing with manure, then things get very complicated, not only because of the uncertainty in terms of what we are applying, because of the uniformity and the manure analysis and so forth, but also because of the nutrient ratios in manure. And what is needed for one crop, one nutrient may not be too much or too little for the other. So in Iowa and the Midwest, in the Western Corn Belt, we have lots of manure going out to the fields. And we know already that with poultry manure, for example, if it is broilers or turkeys or egg layers, when we apply N-based poultry manure, we get a buildup of phosphorus, you know, very fast, and especially when we have continuous corn. Now, when we have any manure, or we apply any manure to continuous corn, then we also have that buildup, if it is applied according to the nitrogen. Of course, if we are applying too much phosphorus in excess, it comes to a point that then we're having problems with transport or delivery of the fields, with erosion, surface runoffs, and surface drainage. Now, we are working especially with subsurface drainage tiles, okay? Of course, the phosphorus that goes through the profile can go to groundwater, indirectly can get to some surface water resources, but the tiles actually short-circuit the system, that they go through the profile and then goes directly to surface water resources. We have shown, of course, there is lots of work in lysimeters and in the field, in the lab, in salt columns, about how much phosphorus moves down into the profile. But also, in order to get to the tiles, it has to move laterally in the soil. Okay, so what goes if the phosphorus goes straight down to a tile, that's one thing. But also, it has to move laterally in the soil. And this is an interesting thing that Allen, by the way, he's here. He did some interesting work years ago that he showed that at least Iowa soils, they have a large capacity of filtering phosphorus, at least for a while, until the system gets loaded. This is, we have two sites here that he looked at when we have a trench with a concentrated solution. I think it was about 10, 12 milligrams per kilo of pea bread. And then we look at how much it moves along over the wall of that trench. And really, almost none of the phosphorus move more than about 25, 30 centimeters. Now imagine that the tiles are spaced anywhere from 15 to 30 meters in the fields, okay? So this is the importance and the perspective of what we are looking here. So this is an 11-year study that was in northeast Iowa. We have about 1 acre plot, half acre, 1 to 4% slope. There were three soils there. The predominant were Floyd and Redling. Loam to clay loam subsoil, there was some variability. The tiles were put at 1.2 meters and a 28.5 meter spacing. And there were three replications. And we have more treatments, but we have four that were consistent over time. Management system for corn or corn soybean rotation. These are the systems, and you had to bear with me the coding, you know, because I will be showing this in 3-4 figures. Okay, we have a fertilizer-based system, okay, nitrogen and phosphorus. When we apply the right amount according to current recommendations. So this was the phosphor, the nitrogen was applied for corn, of course, only. This was with tillage. The phosphorus was applied for corn, but applying the rate already for the second crop. This is fairly common in the Midwest, okay? So there was nothing applied to the soybean. Here we have N-based manure for the corn-soybean rotation. Okay? CS is corn-soybean tillage. And this is the swine manure, liquid swine manure from pits. And this was applied at this target rate for the corn. And on average, across the 11 years, actually the 6 years that it was applied, okay, because it was applied only before corn, this was the amount of phosphorus that was applied. Of course, for soybean, we applied nothing. This was the same thing, this treatment, but it was no-till. Okay, so and here it was the same target, and the amount applied was about the same. But then we have continuous corn, that we apply the soy manure and base for corn every year. And here the target rate is higher for continuous corn, and this was the amount of P applied, on average, across the 11 years. Okay, if you sum, we have about 800, 900 kilos of P applied over those 11 years. Okay. Okay, this is some sampling that Mazur Haq did, you know, at the end of 2010, and it shows really the change of soil Bray phosphorus with TEF. And we look at Bray, Olsen, Melick, P saturation by three methods, but I'm just showing this. So what we found is that even though the P rates for the fertilizer-based and manure-based were about the same, not exactly the same, there was a slight difference. For some reason, we built up more P with a N-base manure treatment than for the fertilizer, even though it was about the same. But really, the clear difference is here. When we apply manure, you know, every year for continuous corn, then soil P just goes up like crazy. Oh, and then we see that this difference here was not significant. There was a little bit of almost no build-up, essentially, with DEF, a little bit here. But this treatment increased P, you know, at the 30-centimeter sampling depth. But there was no measurable impact deeper in the subsoil. This was after 11 years. Okay? Now, of course, I can show you all kinds of numbers, but what we have here is average across the 11 years. Okay? So, because we have corn soybean in some systems, then we decided to show that in this way. So this is the fertilizer base, corn soybean rotation, the manure nitrogen base, corn soybean rotation. Remember, applied only for corn. This is the same thing, but for no-till. And this is the continuous corn, where we apply N-based at a higher rate, of course, and every year. So this is the flow, the tile flow, on average of all these years. For corn, these red bars were not significant in terms of the flow, but for soybean, they were. And essentially, what we find, that this is something that is observed also in southern things, that there was more higher tide flow with a no-till. This has been found before. There's more infiltration. There's less runoff, okay? Less loss of phosphorus with runoff, but there is more phosphorus with tide drain. Okay, this is the dissolved reactive P weighted averages. And what we have here is in soybean, there were no significant differences between systems. These are the green bars. But in corn, we did have significant differences between the concentration in drainage of phosphorus for the continuous corn. Makes sense. We apply. Essentially, we are saying, yeah, well, we knew that that would happen. Well, we are documenting it. That's what we are doing. Okay, it's clearly there is a difference. And there was no significant differences among these other three systems, which is the fertilizer, N-base for the corn-soybean rotation, and the N-base with no-till. Okay. Now, when we go to the P loads, those are amount lost and in tile range. And remember that these are about 1 acre plots, so we have pretty good confidence, you know, about the numbers with three replications. And then we also have in the rotation, we have two phases each year. So we have really lots of data here. So no significant difference from soybean, and that makes sense given what happened with the flow and the concentration, obviously. But then we see a much higher difference in the P loss for the continuous corn when we apply manure every year. Now, of course, when we put these things here, this seems that it's huge, and it's a major problem. Okay? But if you look at the numbers, these are at the most 25, 30 grams per hectare. Okay? We have about the same soils, you know, with about the same slope or more, measured runoff with phosphorus loss with runoff and erosion, and we have 2, 3, 5, 15, 20 kilos of P per hectare. So this is very small. Now, we have some high peaks, but so we have a lot of phosphorus there, about 5 times more than is recommended for crops, and yes, this increases loss of phosphorus through to surface drainage, but in comparison with other losses, it's nothing. Okay, one thing that, of course, we spent lots of time with Masar, actually Sunday and yesterday, looking at these numbers, trying to correlate the DRP concentration and the load in tile drainage with salt SP. And I'm showing only the Bray. We did the Melick, we did the Olsen, we did P saturation by the Melick molar ratio. We also calculated some other indices of saturation. And we got the same thing for everything. This is something that we have found in Iowa. In Iowa soils at these levels, it doesn't make any difference. Really using the P saturation indices for tile drainage loss or runoff doesn't make any difference. Allen Brett published a couple of papers on that. So I expect if we had 500 parts per million of a Bray, then it could be an issue, but not at these numbers. Now, there were no significant relations, you see, in overall across 11 years and in each year. However, in 1 year, there were these trends, which is what we expect. And this confirms this, what we call the change point here. We can fit this increasing model or a grafted polynomial there, you know, but essentially what happened is that we don't get really significant trends in loss or concentration until we have about 4 times the P that we need for crops. That's the main thing. I have a couple of minutes. Okay, thanks. Okay, this is because these are rotations, you see, it's a system. So what this shows is the average for the corn and soybean phases, okay? It's just a system. What happened after 11 years for the continuous corn or the corn soybean as a system, okay? So, and I have a different order here, but essentially for concentrations, we don't find significant differences, although you can see that for the continuous corn, I mean, we have higher concentration. And in terms of loads, we do have significant differences. Again, this number is very small, but as I said before, in this year, that there was a high flow because of rain and other hydrological conditions, and still I'm not sure what it was, there was much more flow than in other years, and the concentration was much higher. You look at the concentration, we're having 100, 120, where on average we have only 20 here. So in that year we saw the relationship. I'm going the wrong way. Yeah, I'm going the wrong way. Okay. So in conclusion then, soil test P buildup was greater for soy manure applied every year. No brainer. The application of hem-based manure to corn of corn soybean rotation increased slightly more soil test P than the fertilizer, even though on average the rates of P applied were about the same. We also have yields. We need to look at the removal. We still need to do some work on that. However, this can vary a lot. See, we have all kinds of manure phosphorus experiments in Iowa, and the nitrogen phosphorus ratio varies so much, depending if they feed phytates or not, and all this stuff. So really, if the application every other year of soy manure for corn or corn soybean rotation builds up or not, that depends a lot on the operation. And then manure applied annually for the every year, those about almost 1,000 kilos of P over 11 years, that increased the subsoil only at the 30 centimeter level. The long-term P loss with tile drainage was highest for the manure applied every year, on average about 20 grams per P per hectare. The loss for the N-based manure for corn of corn soybean rotations was about 12 grams of P per hectare, was about the same for no-till or tillage. And the phosphorus loss was lowest for the fertilizer system that it was designed to maintain salted phosphorus over time. And we were pretty good at that. Sometimes it's hard, so we did. So our conclusion is that only when we have really this manure applied every year, and really we increase phosphorus in soil a lot, is that we may have problems. However, the relative impact of the problem in terms of water quality is 10 to 50 times less than when we have with phosphorus loss with surface runoff. And with that, I'm done.